I'm going to be sharing with you about the concept of a new creation. The scripture verse that has kind of become a theme for my entire ministry is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." What is fascinating about this particular verse and other verses in the Apostle Paul wrote is the use of the word new. There are actually two Greek words that are translated new in the English New Testament. And they're translated over and over again with the word new. But both of them have distinctive differences in their meanings. The first one is the Greek word kainos. Kainos means a newness in the sense of a complete change of type or structure. The way I explain it to most people is that kainos means like the difference in transportation between a bicycle and a 747. Okay, so a 747 would be quite new in comparison to a bicycle. They are very radically different. And that's what this word kainos indicates when it uses the word new. It means something very radically different. The other word for new is a word that most of you probably have heard, but not recognized. If you've been to a neonatal clinic, you will have heard this word. It's neos or neo. Neo or neos means new in sense of chronology or place. So when we talk about something being a person being newborn, we're talking about an infant that's just starting out life. That's a neo or a neonatal means a newborn. One who is just starting life or just starting a new adventure. You're still the same, but there is something different in the time frame of your life or the place of your life. And so that's the concept of neos or neo. And that Paul uses both of these words in the Greek New Testament quite often, and they were translated for the word new very often in the Old Testament about 200 years before Christ when they translated the Old Testament into Greek. They used these two words extensively also in their translations. It is a major change. Let's launch into what I want to talk to you about today, and that is the new you. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes these words beginning in verse 20. "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self." And the word there, self, is literally the word man in Greek. And many translations translate it old man. And I want you to realize the distinction there. "Which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed," and the word there is a form of neo. The word renewed is a form of neo. "In the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new," and this is the use of the word kainon, "the new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand what you would say to each of us this day. I pray, Father, that you will direct me, that I will speak the words that your people need to hear this day as we begin this new year. Give us your guidance and your direction, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of us have New Year's resolutions. Here's a video about a New Year's resolution.
At some point, everyone's been at the corner of New Year's resolution and maybe I need a new New Year's resolution. At Walgreens, we know that starting healthy routines can be tough. That's why Walgreens makes it easier with realistic and real simple solutions. Everything from great deals on vitamins, supplements, and fitness monitors to helpful online tools. At the corner of happy and healthy.
I don't know. I've been there with some of my resolutions when the realities came. New Year's has always been a busy time of change for most of us. And in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 20 and going through verse 24, and in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul uses both words for new in both of those passages. He uses them in contrast to one another because he's trying to get across a very important point to us about our new life in Christ. We have turned a corner, a naos. We have come to a change in life. And that's one of the concepts that he wants to get across to us. We've come to that change in life where we're changing from what we were to what we need to be. The second thing is he's talking about not only a chronological change, but he is also talking to us that because of Christ at work in us and the work of the Holy Spirit, that we are no longer the people we were. We're a different type of person. And so he wants to get that across to us as well. So when we look at these passages, we're looking at a major change in who we are and what we are as Christians. And that's what God wants to get across to us through what Paul spoke to us in these verses, that there is something to be changed, that we have turned the corner in our spiritual lives, and we need to move forward into the purpose and direction of Christ. He tells us to put on this new man. And in Ephesians, he uses the word for new man. He uses the word kainos, meaning this different man, this new type of person. In Colossians, he reverses that and says you need to put on the naos man, or the new man that is different in his place in life, his chronology of life. And so he uses both of those concepts for the new man that he wants us to put on in our spiritual walk with Christ. It's important because Ephesians, the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians were written at the same time. They were both sent by the same person who carried them. So these two books were written at exactly the same time. And so it gives us a picture into the thinking process of the Apostle Paul about what it means to be the new you. The struggle for Christian identity is that we need to understand that we are quantitatively and qualitatively different than what we were. We are different because of the work that Jesus is doing in each of us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." The word newborn, that's neonatal. Okay? So when you heard about a neonatal wing, that's that word. So this concept of being a newborn, to be born into Christ, we need to grow up and develop our understanding of what God expects of us, what He wants of us. So as we enter this year, there is a need for us to grow up into Christ. On this particular picture, you see an elderly man carrying a lantern, and it may look like a cane, but that's actually a sickle that he's carrying, a scythe, and that's what he's carrying. He is called Old Man Time or Father Time. You see a stork there, and the stork has a baby carrying it in its bill, and that baby is the brand new year. Okay, so that's what this whole postcard is about. This was a postcard from the late 1800s. If you notice some things about Father Time, or Old Man Time, as he's called, you'll notice that he is dressed in sackcloth. And that is traditional for Father Time. He is dressed in sackcloth. He is in mourning, as it were, for the end. He carries with him the scythe, and in this case, it's a pretty nice picture, but in other pictures, it's rather dark, because the idea is that he also harbingers death. Okay? So those are some of the images that are a part of that. This concept of Old Man Time and the new year in the sense of a baby is very ancient. It goes back all the way at least to the Romans. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that in a moment, but this goes all the way back to the Romans and their viewpoint. And it, during the Middle Ages, it really became cemented within our culture. So this is a part that is cemented into the Western culture, into where the way we perceive ourselves and understand ourselves. The newness that Peter describes indicates our need for a progression in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to grow and develop in our spirituality and our new Christian nature. Paul tells us to have our minds renewed by this sense of chronological, because the word that he uses there is a word for chronological change. We need to change our mind each day and bring it into alignment with what Christ wants of us. So there is a need for a continual change of mind and process as we become more and more in line with what Christ demands of us and expects of us. The use of the word old man here is really interesting. The word old there means to be worn out. It was used of worn out cloth or worn out clothing. And it's been worn out by use. And so he talks about this old man that we are... that is a part of us that is worn out by use and effort, and that it needs to be changed in our lives because it is worn out. Paul tells us that the character of this man is old because it is inconsistent. Excuse me. It is inconsistent with the teaching and the purpose of Christ. It is an older pattern of reflection. In Psalm 51, verse 10, it reads, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That word renew is a form of the Greek word kainos. David is saying, change me. Change the type of man that I am. Excuse me, I've got a tickle in my throat here. In verse 22 of Ephesians 4, Paul tells us to put off the former conduct of life. I like that word, put off. The Greek word there literally means to throw away. Thank you, Terry. To cast away that which is destructive in our lives. So we cast out that which is destroying us. And so he talks about throwing away. Paul views our pre-Christian lifestyle as corrupting. The idea is that because we follow these things, they corrupt us and draw us into destruction. He tells us there are two things that cause this in us. And he tells us that we wallow in them. We wrap our lives up in these things, and it draws us down into destruction and corruption. And the things that he tells us do that is, number one, deceit. Isn't that an interesting concept? And he'll use that in Colossians as well as in Ephesians. He uses this concept of deceit. The idea that we lie to other people, we lie to ourselves, don't we? We can always come up with reasons for telling ourselves that what we're doing is okay, even when we know it's not. So we deceive ourselves. So this deception is one of the things that he says is part of the old nature. It's part of what was our past and should be our past. But he also says there is that desire, that selfish desire that lies at the bottom of what we often do. And that selfish desire becomes something that draws us down into corruption. David is a good example of this. David has involved himself in an affair with Bathsheba, hasn't he? And he has, in the process, deceived himself, deceived other people. And then, because of his self-desire, he ends up killing her husband. And because of all this, it brings the entire nation of Judah into problems and difficulties because of these things in his life. And so when you come to Psalm 51, you have David calling out to God saying, I don't like the type of man I am any longer. Something inside of me needs to change, needs to be different, needs to be new. Something inside of me has to change. David had started out like a man after God's own heart. He had been a man that had followed God, had done God's will. But these two things, self-deception and deceiving, and selfish desire, had spiraled his life down into chaos. When we talk about Father Time, this is a picture that has a rather dark image from that period. It is from 1889, and it is Father Time holding the hands of time, and he has the sickle, of course, and you see a row of children, veiled children, coming forward into the new year, and you have those that are beyond the sickle that are dying, that are going into the past. And it's a very kind of a dark image, and probably more accurate to the understanding. We've kind of sanitized this image, but to the understanding of the original Roman concept, because this character actually has Roman antecedents. it talks about what it means to be a part of that. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, it says, "And I will give them one heart and a new spirit. I will put within them, and I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." The model for old man time, or father time, as he's called in some cases, is actually the god, the Roman god Saturn. Saturn is very similar to the Greek god Kronos, but Saturn was a very popular god. Unlike Kronos, who was very unpopular within the Greek culture, Saturn was very popular in the culture of the Romans. Many of you have probably heard of the Saturnalia. The Saturnalia starts on December the 21st and goes through December 23rd in ancient Rome. The Saturnalia was all about a time of chaos, but also marking the time of the year. It was a time of harvest. Saturn carried with him a sickle. And that sickle would eventually become the scythe. And he was always pictured generally as an older, elderly man. And the concept was that he would bring, as it were, the close of the year. But he was also the god of chaos as well as time. And so during the Saturnalia, there was a time of chaos. The servants became the masters became the servants. There were all kinds of marriage relationships were often broken up during that time. It was very chaotic during those days. And that was part of the concept of Saturn. In addition to him, he was also the god of the gladiatorial ring. When they had the death matches in the gladiatorial stadiums, they were all dedicated to the god Saturn. So the chaos of that was part of that darkness in his world. Julius Caesar established New Year's on January the 1st. You may not have understood that, but that's why we have New Year's on January the 1st. He had, when he came in as emperor, he had the calendar completely redone and established what is called the Julian calendar. And that's basically the calendar we have today. It had to be redone because it was the most accurate calendar up to that point. But the problem with it is, by the time of the Middle Ages, it had fallen behind by 14 days. So, in the 1500s, the Council of Trent authorized the Pope to redo the calendar. Well, it took 40 years. But they redid the calendar, and by 1582, the Gregorian calendar, which is the calendar we have today, was reestablished. It was a reworking of the Julian calendar, and it is the most accurate calendar ever created. And so it basically is what we operate with today. But that calendar changed the direction of Western culture and cemented many of the ideas and concepts, such as Father Time, in our culture. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Do not lie," again that concept of deception, "do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its practices, and you have put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Paul in Colossians uses much the same language that he used in Ephesians when discussing our old nature before we came to Christ. We are told to discard that nature, to get rid of it. And he again identifies it with deception and with selfishness. Isn't that interesting that he identifies that as central to what's going on in our old nature? He tells us to put on this new kind of person. Put on this new kind of person. This change. I like this particular postcard, a New Year's postcard. You have the infant New Year running down the old New Year, the old year or the old man time in his sleigh. And so he's kind of running over it. And there's a sense in which we need to get rid of our old nature, don't we? Here in Colossians, Paul tells us to put on the new person in the sense of having a change in maturity in our relationship with Christ, and that we must progress into the image made by our Creator. This concept is powerful in Paul's writings. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "We are buried therefore with him in baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in his death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved by sin." The word that is used in Colossians, that word image, is a fascinating word. It is a word that we often use in our language. Have you heard the term icon, a screen icon for a movie star? That is what this word is. It literally meant in their culture something that had been pressed into a mold and bore the image of the mold. It was used for clay images, were pushed into a mold, or wax images that were pressed into a mold and taken out and bore the image of the mold. That's what this concept or this word means. What Paul means by it is that Jesus Christ has left his mark on us. We have been pressed into the mold of who he is, and he has left his mark on us. We are in the image of Christ. And because of that, we walk in newness of life. We are not the same person we were before we committed ourselves to Christ. We are different. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." God speaks to his broken people in Ezekiel chapter 36, a people who have failed and been sent into exile because of their self-deceit and because of their selfish desires. But he intends to wash them. He intends to cleanse them. He intends to change their hearts. and change their spirits. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, that such a change leads to truth. And as we follow that truth in our lives, we begin to live righteously and holy. We bear the image. It's stamped on us. That's what it means to be the new you. You bear the image of Christ. It changes everything. So as we go into this new year, chronologically, we've had a change of place, a change of time. But inside of us, the Holy Spirit is changing us into a new type of person. And that is wonderful. That's why this word is so important in the New Testament, this word new. You and I are new people in Christ. Would you stand with me and let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to be new in Christ, to be changed. Thank you that you have pressed us into the mold, into the image of who He is, and that we are marked by Him. Thank you for that. Help us, Father, as we are changing each day, as we're being renewed each day. Change our hearts, our minds, our thought processes, that we might follow after you. Thank you, God. I pray your blessing on each one here today. Strengthen them and encourage them in this new year. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.